Okay, we're going to call the Education Committee meeting to order. The time is 8:03, and today's date is February 8th, Monday morning. Welcome, everyone here. You had a great weekend. In attendance today, we have Co-Chairman Thomas, Vice Chairman Davis, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, and Senator Stevens, and myself, Co-Chairman Meyer. So we do have the full committee here today. And let's see, today we are just taking up one bill, House Bill 235, an act relating to charter school approval and funding. With me today is the co-committee aide, Jomo Stewart, as well as co-committee aide, Murray Richmond, who are going to be introducing Senate Bill 235. Gentlemen, if you could please come forward and state your names for the record and give us a brief introduction of the bill.
My name is Murray Richmond. And my name is Jomo Stewart, okay. Co-committee aide for the Senate Education Committee.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Senate Bill 235 relates to charter school funding. For some time, federal funds have been available through the Department of Education for charter schools. Okay. Senate Bill 235 really addresses the eligibility and competitiveness of Alaska vis-a-vis acquiring those competitive grants. They are competitive. Let's see, specifically, it addresses the competitiveness in two ways. First of all, it allows us to compete for those grants, and then second of all, it makes us more competitive in that competition. Under Section 2 of the bill, under Section 2 of the bill addressing our ability to compete, the Senate Education, or some of the state education agencies, are the ones who actually apply for these grants, and Section 2 establishes the statutory mechanisms that allow the state to provide financial assistance to charter schools on a per-pupil basis, which is an eligibility requirement under the federal grants. Regarding competitiveness, under current state statute, there's a cap on the number of charter schools allowed within the state, and Senate Bill 235 removes that cap, making us, again, more competitive vis-a-vis acquisition of the funds. And that's really the bill in itself. Section 2 also sets up the protocols that, under which the grant distribution and operation will be managed.
This grant money is primarily for capital funding. When charter schools are established, often they can get programmatic support through the school districts, but it would be a extra pull to get capital funding, and this federal money is specifically related to capital funding for charter schools.
Okay, and again, for the record, that you're Murray?
Murray Richmond. Murray, yes, Richmond. Co-committee aide.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, is there any questions for from the committee?
I'm going to have some questions, but do you want to take the testimony before that, or what?
You know, we could start with some questions now, and then we'll take the testimony. Yes, actually, I need it. I don't have a list of who signed up to test. You have it back there.
All right, I'll ask my question then, Mr.
Chairman. Okay, go ahead, Senator Davis.
You stated that you in the bill it lifts the cap, and would you tell me why you feel that we have to lift the cap at this time? We've never reached that number.
Respectfully, through the chair, the condition for federal grants require that there be no cap on charter schools, and you are correct. The cap is currently 60. The most we've ever had, I believe, is 29. Currently, we have 23. So we're lifting a cap that we've never come close to attaining. But in order to attain the federal funds, there cannot be a cap on the number of charter schools allowed.
Could you tell me where that is in the federal statute so I could look at that?
It's part of the new money, the stimulus money that's coming down for education.
I know what the money is. I know what it is. I want to know word and page where it says you have to have the cap lifted in order to apply for the money.
Respectfully, through the chair, I don't have that information right now, but we can get that.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Anything else, Senator Davis?
I'm done.
Okay, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was checking to see who's anybody opposing this bill?
Respectfully, through the chair, we're not aware. We're getting a lot of email from people who are in charter schools We have not heard from a district opposing it yet, and we haven't heard, I haven't gotten personally any email through the senator's office here.
I know that the charter school that from Nome there, the Anvil Mountain one, is certainly in favor of it, and we've certainly got a lot of emails for that.
And
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And respectfully through the chair, I haven't heard any either.
So. Okay, thank you.
Very good. Senator Thomas?
That did bring to mind a question for me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of the comments I've heard in the past have been the difficulty with actually facilities and funding facilities. So this obviously is a response to that, and the federal government, I'm assuming, must have had those similar comments to be taking this action or allowing this to take place. So I do know that that has been a big issue with several of the schools that are in my particular district anyhow. So just a comment, not necessarily a question. So.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would echo the same comment, Mr. Chairman, that we heard last year. We're working on charter schools. I think it would be interesting for us to know what local contribution is made to charter schools by the local government versus those that aren't contributed.
Respectfully through the chair, when a charter school is established, it's under the jurisdiction of the local school district. And so funds would come from there. They are eligible for the base funding rate. And for most of the schools, that is, if they have that, if they have 150 students, then they're eligible for that rate, which is how they're able to fund themselves.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, some charter schools get local contributions, some don't. I'd just like to know which ones do and which ones don't.
Respectfully through the chair, we can find that. I can tell you that the schools that are under 150, that would be the only contribution they would get. Well, that wouldn't be the only contribution, but that would be the major contribution.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Okay. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Hopefully stay nearby. Let's, before we go to public testimony, let's hear from the administration. I have both, let's see, have Sam, are you representing the administration or Eddie? Sam, okay. All right. Thank you. Sam, you want to join us, please? If you could, for the record, state your name and affiliation.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Sam Keto III. I'm the facilities engineer for the State of Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
Okay. Very good. Do you guys have any comments on the bill before us?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Eddie Jeans, Director of School Finance. We're here to answer questions today. We have prepared a fiscal note. Unfortunately, it was submitted late, so you just received it this morning. And real briefly, the fiscal note anticipates 1.5 positions to administer the construction program if it were to be funded.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of people just to administer grants. Maybe you can elaborate. 1.5 people.
Yes, Chair Meyer. When I was looking at the bill and discussing this with staff, we have administered federal funding grants in the past, and what we found is it took a significant amount of time to manage the reporting and the paperwork, and the staff right now is fully committed. In order to do a new program, we would need to add a staff person to be able to administer those grants to the charter schools, and also a half-time administrative assistant to help with the reporting and the paperwork.
Okay, and there's currently 26 charter schools. Is that 27? 23.
25, I think. There's been all kinds of numbers here.
Okay. Somewhere in the 20s.
I think it's 26.
Okay, very good. Okay, so as of right now, that person would only be administrating grants for 26 charter schools. But there could be more in the future, I guess.
Chair Meyer, I anticipated that not all of the schools would be receiving funding in any given year, and it looks as though the federal funding is a five-year program. So my anticipation was, or my estimate was, that about 40% of the schools would receive funding in any given year.
Okay. Well, we'll let the finance guys dive into the fiscal notes. Any questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eddie, if this bill was put into effect today, what sort of, well, let's let me back up for a moment. If it weren't put into effect, if we were doing any modifications to it, to any concerns that, that the state might have, anything you recommend?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, not at this time. This the modifications that are in this bill are intended to increase our opportunities to apply for federal construction funds. So as Murray had pointed out, the lifting of the cap from the 60 to wide open, I'm not sure we're going to find that in a federal law or a regulation, but it's clearly the intent of the current administration that there not be any caps on charter schools of the of the United States administration. So I will also be doing research there, Senator Davis, to see where that statement is, because I've heard it many times.
Follow up?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, when we were, some of us were meeting this summer over this bill and some of the provisions, there were some question marks about, you know, how solidified the federal program was, the position of the state, and it sort of went down a windy road. Are you comfortable now that we know what the federal program is going to be and kind of what our position in the state is going to be as far as this program?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think there is one other component that is not addressed in this bill, and of course that one's going to be a little more difficult to get our arms around, and that's the alternative route to charter school approval. Currently, we require district or charter schools to go through their local school district. I believe that the federal government's position is they would like a standalone body that charter schools could go to and actually bypass their local school boards. That is one of the concerns that I've heard in the past, and I need to do a little more research on that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I can tell you that the department would be very concerned about that because we're not real interested in creating a bunch of local education agencies for charter school purposes.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Stevens.
Just a question, Chairman, on the 60. Is that any 60 per state? Every state has 60, or is it somehow related to the population? Why are we at 60? Are we different from any other state?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, actually, I think we started at about 30, and we were coming up close to that number, and the legislature amended it to 60 to give us plenty of room. Even though we're not even close to that number, the federal government has made it very clear that they would like to see no cap at all. And so, like I said, we will find where that discussion occurs. It may be in the evaluation of the applications themselves.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you're researching some of these, would you also find and forward to Senator Meyer's office or mine the requirement for the per student contribution, you know, at least some contribution being made, so we just have that in hand as well as we explain.
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator Thomas, that's an easy one. I've seen it in the funding law,
right,
so we'll be happy to get that for you.
Great. I thought it'd be helpful for everybody to have that. Thanks.
Senator Stevens.
And just to remind me now, what is the local school board's involvement in a charter school? In terms of funding, do they just pass money through from the state? Do they actually put matching fund when the borough puts money in for other schools, does that go to charter schools as well? What's the funding mechanism for charter schools?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the funding mechanism for charter schools is outlined in our charter school legislation, and basically it says a charter school is entitled to all the funds that they would generate through the foundation program. So that we run them through the program, multiply their adjusted ADM by the base student allocation, and that number, basic need, is what the state says is the minimum contribution to a charter school. Now, in basic need, you have the required local contribution, the four mills, plus your state aid. In some districts, as Senator Huggins was pointing, or I believe pointing out, charter schools get the additional local contribution in addition to the $4 million minimum. And so I'll have to do a little research for you on that and figure out which ones get that additional local contribution. But that is addressed specifically in their charter. The state law just requires that they get basic need.
And just so the standalone issue, that could be a federal requirement, but in doing this, we're not committing in any way to a standalone process.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, not at this point, and but I still need to go research that because I believe that was one of the other issues.
Anything else, Senator Stevens?
No, thank you.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Eddie, I'm assuming that what we're doing, we do this legislation, let's just assume for a moment that it passes. We're looking for the minimum threshold to be able to get the funding to make this program work for facilities. Is that the threshold to meet any federal requirements to be in compliance?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's my understanding.
Okay, Senator Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill addresses the money that's there through Race to the Top. Is that where the money is embedded in there, Race to the Top?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, I do not believe it's in Race to the Top. I believe it's in the ARRA funding, but not the Race to the Top.
So I'll
double check.
So this goes away in 2015?
I believe it's a five-year program. So that would be correct.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Not. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We do have several people who have signed up to testify. And then also I know in your packet you should have several letters or emails from folks as well testifying by email. But the folks we do have online, and we do have one gentleman here, I believe Merle Thompson's here from Wasilla School or MESU School Board. Merle, if you want to join us, please. And we'll go ahead and take any testimony here in Juneau and then go off-site. Welcome, Merle.
Well, thank you.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here. Nice new building here.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for bringing this bill forward. I can speak for the MESU School Board and District. We have already taken this particular bill through our legislative committee and brought it to the whole body of the school board, and it was unanimous for our support for this bill. And one of the problems that, one of the many problems that we have concerning our charter schools in the Valley, particularly, we have, I think, five, and buildings and maintenance has always been one of the big problems, and funding them with our budgets with the school district it's just so tight that there's not much we can do. Any new funding mechanism that we can come up with that would help the situation is definitely needed. Some of the schools are really in buildings that are in bad need of repair, and this is one way that we can help address it. It's probably not going to be a panacea for all the problems with maintenance, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. We tried to have, or at least the charter schools have tried to apply for this grant, and they said that one of the things holding it up was the cap on 60. I looked, did a little bit of research in other states, and there are some states that just don't support charter schools at all, and there's some that have no caps at all. We just happen to be kind of in the lower medium part of, as far as caps go, but I think that the current administration in Washington said that they wanted to remove these caps, and that they also, you know, wanted accountability from the schools. And there would be, through the way it is now through the school board, we kind of vet out that stuff when they apply for new charters. But one of the problems that we have too is the expense of right now. I mean, we have to basically lease buildings and property, which they come at a premium, especially out for buildings large enough to be a school out in the Valley. So it can become very costly. I think in the long run, over the long term, this is going to really save the school districts and the state a lot of money. And, keep it as brief as possible. If you have any questions, I may be able to answer, but.
Great. Yeah, we do have some questions. Let me start with Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Admiral, good to see you. Midnight Sun is a bit unique in their housing. Could you just describe to the committee the housing and how that came about?
Well, Midnight Sun, I'm not exactly sure how it all came about. That was before the time that I was on the board. The school that came on since my tenure on the board was the Front Terrace Charter School, and I'm a little more familiar with that.
Right. Yeah. If I might, Mr. Chairman,
sure,
Midnight Sun originally started out in a strip mall, and you know the challenge of any charter school when you go to a regular building is to make it meet fire marshal code. It's extremely difficult and expensive. Number one. Number two, in the case of Midnight Sun, they moved out of that strip mall and moved into a building that was built specifically for them that has a lease back, I think, to purchase. But here's the unique part of it. They actually pay tax on the building. It's kind of interesting. You get money cycled through the school, then they cycle the money back to the borough through the form of taxes. And, you know, some people question the mentality of that. But they do. They pay taxes on it. But they have a building designed for them by a local contractor, and they, in fact, lease it back with potential lease to purchase.
Yeah, and that is another problem with Midnight Sun is the tax issue with them. I know we with Front Terrace, the charter school that most recently started, the amount of the lease is huge for us. I mean, it's a stretch that and there was just we had that was the only possibility that we had, so we ended up having to take it to start that charter school, which is doing really well. Our charter schools are very successful out there, and the test scores are very high too.
Very good. Did you have a follow-up
on that,
Senator?
I just had a question for Senator Huggins. I'm sorry, Huggins. Would you go back and tell me who decided that the school would be built? Was that a decision made by the district or the municipality or what?
Well, I wasn't part of that process, but I think you'll find in just monitoring it between the local government, the borough, and the school district and the school board, it was and the charter school. So it was sort of a quadruplet or sitting around the table figuring out how to get the accommodations for the school. It was innovative, and I think all parties were happy at the time, and now, you know, they're looking at the next step of that.
I think you should pass that model around to all the school districts that have charter schools, because many schools might be interested in that. If that worked for you, it might work for them.
Good idea. Great.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Did you have anything else, Senator Huggins?
No. Thank you.
Great. Senator Stevens.
The issue that Eddie Jeans brought up about federal government's interest in developing standalone charter schools and bypassing local school districts. Do you have any reflection on that at all? Is that something you've given any thought to, Earl?
Yeah, we're not so sure how that would come about. Right at this point, we probably would like to keep some control. I mean, they are going to be under our auspices, and they are a public school, and there needs to be some local mechanism. And I think as long as if we can keep it local, it's probably a lot better than starting new bureaucracies to take care of it. I mean, we're certainly capable of doing that, and being a little closer to the situation, we're a little more hands-on.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Stevens. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony. In your discussions with the board and the district, did you, in fact, take a look at what the potential was as far as obviously the first year is 90% and then 80, 60, 40, and 20, so I think people would want to get in the door up front. Did you consider that the number of schools that you have and the potential need? I'm sure people have a pretty good handle on that and have expressed that. How that might impact the district? Did they look at it saying we agree or disagree with the State Board of Education that there will be 40% applying it? We think that almost everybody's going to get pranked in the door initially because of the greater amount that is offset for them or for the district anyhow.
That's always a concern, I guess, with the school districts. I'm not too worried about like a gold rush, you know, of charter schools coming in and then having that ability to vet the stuff out at the school board level. It's I think it'll serve as a pretty good check on it. It's I don't know, what we're doing now is certainly not fair or working well enough for the charters.
And just
sure, follow up.
Did you have any kind of at least estimate of what it might be, as the various charter schools have probably put forth their needs over the years anyhow, so you have some kind of list already that indicates that this one would like to have this work done and it amounts to this amount of money?
Well, I'm assuming that there will be a number of administrators from different charter schools testifying. They could probably give you very okay. specific information on that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas.
Yep.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one question for Merle. In this case, it looks like it may be wise potentially of us to go ahead and submit to the feds a delay at starting the clock for us, for lack of a better term. I know we did that on some other aspects, but so that if for some reason we don't get this thing figured out completely and it becomes more complicated than we imagine, that we just go ahead and preemptively say, please start the clock for us 1 year later and see what the response is. It doesn't hurt anything, but your thoughts?
It never hurts to ask it, and it might be a good thing to have this to be an ongoing
right
for more than 5 years, in my opinion anyway.
Okay, very good. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Merle.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, was there anybody else here in Juneau that wanted to testify? Okay. Seeing none, then let's go on off online here, off net. Loretta Nardi. Loretta, you
yes.
with us. Yes, welcome.
Oh, hi, thank you so much. My name is Loretta Nardi, and I am the president of the Partnership for Alaska Charter Schools, and we are a statewide organization. Our members include families of charter schools, administrators, teachers, and really anyone interested in charter schools. And it is on behalf of the membership that we support Senate Bill 235 and urge you to do the same. Currently, charter schools, the U.S. Department of Education, right on their website, ranks Alaska as among the lowest in the nation in terms of supporting successful charter schools. And Senate Bill 235 addresses this issue with the new language, removing the caps. It says it right there on the website in detail, their criteria, what they're looking for state law, and how they rank it based on the rubric, and that's how they've come up with the rating, and we're very low in the state. But Senate Bill 235 would address this, and the new language would allow for Alaska to finally compete for federal facility grants for the first time in 13 years. Years ago, our state stopped applying for these grants just because we kept getting turned down and there was really no purpose to continue to apply for them. So right now, with Senate Bill 235, if that gets passed, we will be on par and competitive with other states for these millions of dollars in federal facility grants, federal startup funds. The federal government, the trend in education is to think outside the box, and they're rewarding states who meet the criteria for charter schools. And so on behalf of PACS, the Partnership for Alaska Charter Schools, we are in full support of Senate Bill 235.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Sure. Okay, let's move on now to, let's see, looks like Barbara Gard.
Good morning. This is Barbara Gerard. I am the principal of Academy Charter School, and I'm thrilled to share of widespread support of Senate Bill 235 across our state. This widespread support spans across the traditional divides and includes school boards, school districts, state and local community leaders, and members, state associations, and of course, your charter school administrators, teachers, and families. They represent the far north, Fairbanks, Matsu, Anchorage, Kenai, Homer, Juneau, and Ketchikan. We've formed a seamless statewide entity mobilized for the common good of charter schools. This amendment to the current law improves the state's ability to secure the federal startup funds for Alaska charter schools. This amendment makes Alaska charter schools eligible to apply and compete for the federal grants for facilities, which we desperately need. In the interest of time, only a few of us will give our testimony in support of this bill. Instead, we've asked that a few important representatives speak, such as you just heard, Loretta Nardi, the president of the Partnership for Alaska Charter Schools. I expect Ginger Blockman, president of the Alaska Charter Schools Association, to speak, and some other key members across the state. Thank you for your support and helping this be passed through the Senate. We so appreciate your efforts in providing excellence in education and all you do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Barbara, for your testimony. And I don't see any questions, so thank you for joining us this morning. All right. Let's move on to Russell Thatcher.
Well, I'm just here in support of the charter school amendment. Thank you for your time.
Yes. Thank you, Russell. You didn't want to testify. You just want to express your support. Correct?
Not really. The only testify I have is my children are in a charter school, and I'm very impressed with the way they're learning and the involvement the parents have to have in the school. I can't say enough about the program. I'm thrilled. So thank you for your help.
Okay, very good. For the record, then, that would be Russell Thatcher, parent from Mat-Su Valley. Okay, actually, I think that may be all I have to online to testify. Is that correct? Okay. And as I mentioned earlier, many of you have sent your email expressing your interest and your support of the bill. We do appreciate that, but certainly want to make sure if there's anybody who wants to testify online or here in person has an opportunity. So if there is no one else, and I don't see anyone else, then we'll go ahead and close the public testimony on this bill, Senate Bill 235. And we'll open it up to discussion amongst the committee members. Is there any additional questions for the administration or any comments that the committee members may have?
Yep.
Senator Davis.
I don't have a question of the administration. I would appreciate the information they're going to bring back to us, but I definitely do not want to hold this bill up to get that information because it had somewhere else to go. But I want to go on record saying that it's already known that I'm very supportive of charter schools. In fact, I introduced the first charter law here in this state. And I have always been supportive. And I appreciate the fact that the program that we have is working well for us. And if it takes us removing the cap, I have no problem with that happening. I want to know for sure that it has to be done that way. That's why I asked the question, bring it back to me, because I don't think that's exactly what it's interpreted. But when I look at how they rank us for charter schools, we get a D. And I'm sick and tired of being at the bottom of the list when it comes to good things for our students and at things that are good for them, we're at the top bad. Mm. You know, so we can't go wrong with this bill. And I want to go on record saying I am supportive of it.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Davis. And thank you for all your efforts in the in establishing charter schools in the state and certainly in Anchorage. And I've heard the same comments, that the charter schools are really working and working well for our kids. The biggest frustration is that so much of the money that they get from the school district goes to the facility costs. And this should help relieve some of that. Any other comments, Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My wife worked with Barbara Girard on different charter schools to start the first two charter schools in the Valley, so I've had a little bit of experience with that. It was an interesting process, and I guess the part that impressed me the most was the state school board. Our was very, very positive and accommodating and proactive in making things work. But on this bill relies on some other things. And there is a minimum threshold of items that we have to meet, and I think it would be smart of us to at least know what those are. And I agree with Senator Davis that it's better for us to get the bill moving, but I think the minimum threshold sorts of things that the state's aware of is important for us to know what those are, because there are some that have not been discussed here today. Underperforming, that's not the right term, but there's an underperforming aspect to this also that charter schools we have to have some provision for. There are a myriad of them, or a few of them, that, and I would just recommend that we know what those are. It can be after the fact of the bill moving, but so that we understand what we're supporting here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was part of the question I was going to ask about the other requirements that may necessarily be impactful. And another aspect of it, in the fiscal note, in Section 2, it references approximately $1,000 a year for the dollar a pupil. Are there only 1,000 currently? No. Yes or no?
But why don't you come on up?
Yeah, why don't you come up and address that? I thought there were more students. So even though it's a tiny number, it really is not going to have any impact on anything. It's just to allow participation in this program, I understand. But I just
for the record, again, Sam Keto with the Department of Education, and the total number of charter school students is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500. And I've estimated at about 1,000 a year being impacted by the program.
Okay, I got you. I understand. So that number, if I may continue.
Sure, please.
So that number is not necessarily for the total amount of students. It's the number that are involved with the schools that are impacted on an annual basis, that contribution of a dollar.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, correct.
Okay. All right. That confuses me a little, but anyhow, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eddie, since you're the most senior person on the department there, if this is such a good bill with widespread support, why was a bill not like this not put forth before?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a difficult question to answer. I think one of the things that we need to think about here and be aware of is the cap on the charter schools. We're not even close to our own state cap, but it's a federal policy that is driving this kind of legislation. It's the federal government that would like to see no caps. We get marked down in our state because we have a cap of 60, yet we're not even close to it. So it's the outside pressure that is that has this bill coming before you today. And if I may, in response to Senator Thomas on the dollar per child, the federal law requires that we have a per pupil funding mechanism for capital for the federal component. I'm not quite sure that the dollar is the right amount. That's what's in the legislation as I understand it right now. And we need to take a closer look at that to make sure that we are representing this the way it needs to be represented to the committee.
One further question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
What was the reason the cap was I understand outside and changing pressures from Washington, D.C. coming by and coming and how they disperse their funds. Why was a cap put on there in the first place?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I think the cap was put there because we started down the road with charter schools as an experiment, and we wanted to make sure that they were successful and working properly in the state of Alaska. I think what you're hearing from people testifying, and the department totally agrees, the charter schools are very successful programs. The biggest hurdle, as I'm aware, is the facilities issue. But we have a facilities program in the state of Alaska right now for public schools. And unfortunately, charter schools get caught in the middle of this because our facilities program is based on the number of students within a particular attendance area. So it becomes very difficult for charter schools to qualify for space under our current program. So we need to do a little bit more research on this federal program to make sure we understand all the components of it. But we need to remember, too, charter schools are public schools in the state of Alaska. The facilities that are owned, which I believe the legislature provided funding for a gymnasium a couple years ago up in the Mat-Su Valley, that's part of the school district's inventory now. It's not owned by the charter school. So I just bring that to your attention because I don't want people thinking that there's a separation here. Charter schools have their own operations independent of the public schools. They're still part of the public school system. The facilities, unless they're leased, are part of the public school inventory.
Okay. Anything else, Senator Olson?
No, not that. No.
Very good. Senator Thomas? Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regarding that aspect of it, the public facilities versus the lease back, is that the issue regarding taxes? Someone builds a school for a charter school, but retains the ownership and either leases it or leases it back to them with the intention that they may be purchasing it over a period of time. But regardless, it is not a public facility, or is it considered a public facility for purposes of taxation?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, as I understand it, it's owned by private individuals or corporations or whatever. It is not part of the public
domain
schools, and so therefore it would be taxable.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. But Eddie, to get back to the square footage business, I guess number one, I'll go on record and say we need to capture your experience on a hard drive someplace when you conk out on us. We have a big void. Retire is the definition of conk out.
Thank you.
But I remember when we ran into the hurdle of square footage for charter schools and public, the whole public school piece and doing bonding. And I thought that had been cleared up a bit, but could you help us out on that?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I don't think it's been cleared up, but I can tell you, like in areas like Kenai, where they have declining school enrollment, they've allowed the charter schools to come in and utilize square footage that's available now. What you're going to experience in Mat-Su is it's a growing region, and so obviously it's going to be more difficult for them to qualify for additional square footage strictly for their charter schools. We haven't ever had that separation between charter schools and the rest of our public school needs through our facilities program, and I'm not even sure that would be a good idea. I like the fact that the federal government is stepping up and offering some construction funding. And so, like I said, we need to do a little more research into the bill itself or the program itself and get those details ironed out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Okay. Any other committee comments?
Mr. Chairman, I was saying that there are some new people that have come into the room. We haven't closed public testimony yet.
Actually, we did close public testimony, yeah. I don't know, I saw the folks walk in too. Did you fly in this morning or just?
No.
Okay.
They had another meeting.
All right. Well, I think we had quite a few comments in support of the bill, and I would imagine you're in support as well. Okay, very good. And like I said, we have quite a bit in our packets here. There are some outstanding questions, as we heard, the standalone concern, the dollar per student amount. Those are legitimate questions, and I think we do need to have those resolved before final passage on the Senate floor. But unless the committee tells me otherwise, I think that there's enough interest and momentum positive for this bill to at least move it on to the next committee of referral, which I believe is finance. So if I don't see any objection, then Senator Thomas, Chair, would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Senate Bill 235 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, the bill passes committee. So with that, we're going to take a brief at ease. Okay, we are back online. Members are signing the recommendations book for the previous bill, Senate Bill 235. We do have Senate Bill 236 that we had started on Friday, and of course we can take that up, but my understanding is that we still need a little more time to try to get a handle on where the committee would be as far as the tax credits go. This bill is tax credits for educational facilities, and as you remember, our discussion there was what the cap should be and what we should allow each entity or corporation to be allowed to use as a tax credit for education facility, and we were frankly all over the board on that. So I'd like to have just a little more time to meet with the individual committee members, try to get a better consensus of the committee, and then we'll bring this bill back up, I believe, on Friday. Wednesday, Co-Chairman Thomas will be running the meeting, I think, for taking up some appropriation bills. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Senator Thomas, do you want to talk about those at all at this time?
Let's see. We are going to take up the...
Life science.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Life sciences as well as...
Engineering, we have a
Senate Bill, the 206, an act to making special appropriation for new engineering buildings for the University of Alaska in Anchorage and Fairbanks. The engineering buildings as well as the life sciences will be the two subject matter for the meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah, I believe that the appropriation for life sciences is Senate Bill 56, and then the appropriations, as you mentioned, for the engineering building at the University of Alaska in Anchorage and Fairbanks is 206. So that should be interesting testimony on getting folks' opinion on those two major new capital projects on both campuses, Anchorage and Fairbanks. Okay, if there's nothing else to come before the committee today, thank you for joining us, and we are adjourned.